Chapter 42, Nebuchadnezzar's 7 years of madness. After Nebuchadnezzar's dream of the great image, his mind had been profoundly influenced by the thought that the Babylonian Empire was finally to fall. At last all earthly kingdoms were to be superseded by a kingdom set up by God. Nebuchadnezzar's noble conception of God's purpose concerning the nations was lost sight of later. Yet when his proud spirit was humbled on the plain of Dura, he once more acknowledged that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. He had an innate sense of justice and right, and God was able to use him as an instrument for the punishment of the rebellious and for the fulfillment of the divine purpose. As he added nation after nation to the Babylonian realm, he added more and more to his fame as the greatest ruler of the age. It was not surprising that the successful, proud-spirited monarch should be tempted to turn aside from the path of humility, which alone leads to true greatness. Between his wars of conquest, he gave much thought to the beautifying of his capital, until the city of Babylon became the golden city, the praise of the whole earth. His success in making Babylon one of the wonders of the world ministered to his pride, until he was in grave danger of spoiling his record as a ruler whom God could use. In mercy God gave the king another dream to warn him of his peril. In vision Nebuchadnezzar saw a great tree, its top towering to the heavens and its branches stretching to the ends of the earth. Flocks and herds enjoyed shelter beneath its shadow, and birds built their nests in its boughs. And all flesh was fed of it. As the king gazed upon the tree, he saw a watcher, even an holy one, who approached the tree and in a loud voice cried, "Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit, nevertheless leave the stump of his roots in the earth, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth, let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The attempt to discover the meaning. Greatly troubled, the king repeated the dream to the wise men, but although the dream was very explicit, none could interpret it. The king in his perplexity sent for Daniel, esteemed for his integrity and unrivaled wisdom. After relating the dream, Nebuchadnezzar said, "Declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee." To Daniel the meaning of the dream was plain, and its significance startled him. Seeing Daniel's hesitation and distress, the king expressed sympathy for his servant. "Let not the dream, or the interpretation thereof, trouble thee." The prophet realized that God had laid on him the solemn duty of revealing to Nebuchadnezzar the judgment about to fall upon him because of his pride and arrogance. Although its dreadful import had made him hesitate, he must state the truth, whatever the consequences to himself. "The tree that thou sawest," he said, "is thou, O king, for thy greatness is grown to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one, saying, 'Hew the tree down, and destroy it, yet leave the stump,' this is the interpretation: they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and 7 times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule." Daniel urged the proud monarch to repent, that he might avert the threatened calamity. "Break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility." Nebuchadnezzar's short-lived repentance. For a time the counsel of the prophet was strong on Nebuchadnezzar, But self-indulgence and ambition had not yet been eradicated from the king's heart, and later these traits reappeared. His rule, which heretofore had been to a great degree just and merciful, became oppressive. He used his God-given talents for self-glorification, exalting himself above the God who had given him life and power. For months the judgment of God lingered. But instead of being led to repentance by this forbearance, the king indulged his pride until he lost confidence in the interpretation of the dream and jested at his former fears. A year after the warning, Nebuchadnezzar, walking in his palace and thinking with pride of his power as a ruler and of his success as a builder, exclaimed, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" RSV. While the proud boast was yet on the king's lips, a voice from heaven announced that God's appointed time of judgment had come. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." In a moment the once mighty ruler was a maniac. His hand could no longer sway the scepter. Stripped of the power his creator had given him, and driven from men, Nebuchadnezzar did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. For 7 years Nebuchadnezzar was an astonishment to all his subjects, humbled before all the world. Then his reason was restored and he recognized the divine hand in his chastisement. In a public proclamation he acknowledged the great mercy of God in his restoration. "I Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." The once proud monarch had become a humble child of God, a wise and compassionate king. He now acknowledged the power of the Most High and earnestly sought to promote the fear of Jehovah and the happiness of his subjects. Nebuchadnezzar had learned at last the lesson which all rulers need to learn, that true greatness consists in true goodness. He acknowledged the living God, saying, "I Nebuchadnezzar praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." God's purpose was now fulfilled. This public proclamation, in which Nebuchadnezzar acknowledged the goodness and authority of God, was the last act of his life recorded in sacred history.